Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. Our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I want to continue the subject of the model of the year. In fact, it's been suggested that we put on a scripture verse, and the person that gave this, somehow or rather, I'm going to ask Judy to help me. John chapter 15, perhaps 16 and 17, maybe right in here, so that people see that this isn't just something pulled out of the sky and somebody's thinking. It is actually from the Word of God. In this 15th chapter of Gospel of John, I want to start reading at verse 12. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." This is the word of God, and I asked that it might be taken as such. This matter of friendship is not a small matter. I think innately we all hunger for friendship. When I was in school and studied some Christian education, I took a course in practical teaching at a school, and they gave me some, I think they're third or fourth graders, and I'm amazed at little children, how they want to be loved. Take, for example, you little girls, when you were little girls, it was so important that you have somebody to play with. And if you found one that played with you regularly on the playground, you say, "She's my friend." But what happened, girls, ladies, when that person perhaps went off a ways and played with somebody else? And it almost broke your heart. I mean, we've been playing for a long time, and now she's playing with Emily. And she's not swinging with me or anything. And boys are somewhat the same way. Boys like to be the idea that we are the real, you know. Even the blood brothers, they've done such thing as cut your finger a little bit and matching it. Now we are blood brothers, you know. We've done things like that. But you know, when they got a little older and they began to look at the girls, some of my friends didn't see them too much. They started dating. That was kind of hurtful because we spent a lot of time together as friends. And then you girls had to go and break things up. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Anyway, that's the way life is. I do think we hunger for friendship. Now, you know there's a principle, and I labor on it. First you have the natural, and then you talk about the spiritual. And if I give illustrations of the natural, then look out that I'm going to give illustration from the scripture, from the spiritual. And so I do that. I know that this verse 12 in this 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, I've met some people that not very loving. And the question comes, is it possible for me to be a child of God, yeah, and not be a friend of Jesus? You say, well, it's very evident. Now be careful. Don't jump too fast. There are people who say, well, yeah, I believe in the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul, and I have ever since I can remember. But where is the personal, intimate love for the Lord Jesus, as this passage is saying, plus a lot of other scriptures? We sang tonight about our wonderful friend he is. Some people, it seems that they don't seem to have the evidence that they really are a wonderful friend of Jesus. But this passage 12 says, you will evidence love for Jesus if you know him. And that he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. That's a natural, should I say supernatural qualification, or the attribute of a Christian, that they do love. Our standard is the Lord Jesus, because the next verse 13, shows us a standard, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, I always like to look for illustrations, and I found one I thought was precious. In Scotland, years ago, and it's a well-known account of a mother with a little baby, just a little thing. And she got caught in a snowstorm and lost her way, and she became very, very cold, and she kept trying to keep her little baby warm, and it got to a place where it was very difficult to keep the baby warm, and she kept taking her clothes off and wrapping that little baby up. And you know the bottom of the story already, don't you? They found the mother with hardly anything on her clothes, but the little baby was alive. Look at verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, husbands, we don't like to be talked to too much. But in Ephesians chapter 5, there is that passage that really gets after us, and we'd say, well, that's pretty strong. We ought to get after the women so they understand what love is, instead of getting after us, preacher. But we have to talk to ourselves, too. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, what are we talking about? We're talking about being a friend of Jesus and the characteristics of a friend of Jesus. And we're trying to see this in the passage. Well, in this 5th chapter of Ephesians, look at that verse 25. Husbands, you know, love your wives. Though we heard that a plenty of times. Even as Christ loved the church, well, I heard that too. But that last part I haven't heard a lot about, of verse 25, that we're to love our wives to such extent that it would involve like Jesus gave himself for it. Loved the church and gave himself for it. Flunked. I mean, you say, well, I try to be a good husband. Sure you do, I know. But if you think you're really doing a great job, and we could get on you ladies too, but I just thought, tonight, give you a little break. But we men folk, even as Christ died for his bride, for you. And so I again ask you, can we be a child of God and not really be a friend of Jesus? Now, the Bible does say, and you've heard it plenty of times, but in this generation of materialism, we need to hear it frequently, that if it says in the Bible that if we love the world, we're at enmity with God, we're an enemy of God. Well, that's really that's a tough one. If you love the world, it says that you know, if you really are an enemy of God. And that's the way we were educated, weren't we? That's what they taught us. Get it while getting's good. Come on, boy. But if you love this old world, it's saying you're not a friend of the Lord Jesus. You're actually at enmity. You're an enemy of the Lord Jesus. That's a hard one. Yeah. Well, what about verse 18 and 19 that you didn't read? Well, I didn't get there yet, but I will look at it, because if we're going to talk about love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us, he said in verse 18, he said, "Now, if the world hate you, if you know that it hated me before it hated you, now, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Well, that's not very comforting. I tell you, the only comfort there is an indicative. It shows who you really are. Listen, if we're loving people, they'll love us, won't they? If you're loving, then everybody's going to love you. Listen, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he has priority, and you love him with all your heart and you obey him, they're going to say, something... That person's not walking like we're walking. I don't particularly want to be around. They'll talk about it. They'll say, "Hey, I have a friend too. His name is Jesus Christ." They'll say, "Oh, come on." But it says here, listen, if you find that people really doesn't take to you, it might be a good sign. I said to you before, if you were taken to court, would there be enough evidence in court to prove that you're a genuine Christian? Harry Ironside tells about a story. He was pastor at Moody Bible Church and Moody Bible Institute years ago. He tells an incident of a missionary. He went to one of these countries where they didn't have the Bible in the native translator language, and so he made it a point to put the native language in the Word of God, which is very good. And how did he do it? He found a very scholarly, Confucianist. Scholarly, educated Confucianist. That was his view. And he hired him and said, "Now, I want to make a translation of the Word of God. I want you to help me." So he paid him and got the job done. And the missionary hadn't talked to him as he was doing this. And he said, I thought I'd better say something to him before he departs. And he said to him, "Have you ever thought about being a Christian?" To the scholarly Confucianist. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I think it's terrific philosophy." He said, "If I'd ever meet one," he said, "I would think that I would be tempted to find out more about it." And the missionary said, "What?" Well, he said, "If I ever meet a real Christian, I would like to know more about it." And the missionary said, "I am a Christian." He said, "Well, I've been with you a long time." He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I noticed some things that you talk rather strongly against some of the brethren. And then also that when the missionary check doesn't show up, you get really excited, upset." Isn't that sad? What about us? You see, don't be hard on that missionary. He translated the
native language into the Word of God. Yeah, well, you can get so busy, can't we? Running ragged, doing this and doing that. But what about living for the Lord Jesus so others may see this passage? Don't race this passage. Brother Rick put it in the website that I'm going to do a series on this. I didn't know I was going to do that, brother, as such, but maybe I'll camp here a while. And that is, man, it's a tremendous passage. I want to say this. There is progressive. There's a progressive intimacy. There's a maturing of love. It's just not something that comes just immediately. It's progressive. Look at verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, you know, you could be just quiet about things, not mention much anything about that. But verse 15, there is a loaded verse. The Lord Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants or slaves, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, and for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And so there is a matter of quietness, but there's also a telling to make known. Abraham, he was called a friend of God, but his nephew, Lot, said he was a righteous man. But you know what? Something didn't gather there right. He apparently, verse 13, wasn't living a life. Sure, he was a politician, a Christian politician, one might put it. But he wasn't living the life. He wasn't doing as verse 15, but Uncle Abraham was. And the Word of God says God called him a friend. He didn't call Lot a friend. He just said he was a righteous man, righteous Lot. And so I'm asking this question. You think you can be a child of God and not really, not be a friend of the Lord Jesus? Now, notice the condition of verse 14. There are a lot of passages like this. This isn't the only one, verse 14. The Lord said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. There you go, one of those conditions. To be obedient to his commands. Actually, that's the key to friendship right there. What's the key? That verse. Verse 14, you want to know the key to the passage? That's it. He said, you're my friends. Yes. How's that evidence? Well, if you do whatsoever I command you, you're my friends. That's a mark of a friend of the Lord Jesus. Well, if I'm not doing what he commands, then am I a friend of Jesus? Well, you answer verse 14. No, apparently you may be a child of God, know the Lord Jesus, but he's not really that kind of a friend. And so really what we have in this passage is that we have marks of those who are friends of Jesus. You say, well, I'd like to see some evidence. Put it down in the Bible so that I can see some evidence what it means to be a friend of Jesus. Well, we got to start somewhere, so let's start with verse 12 and 13 again. Well, we did look at that, but look at it again. The evidence that we are friends of the Lord Jesus is that we love one another. Look at verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment, and that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, that's evidence. There's no exceptions to it. The evidence that you really are a friend of the Lord Jesus is that you love one another. No exceptions. You love the Father, you love the Son, and you love all those who have been begotten through a new birth. We love them. And there is such a thing as sweet fellowship. Oh, well, preacher, you're old enough to know that not every Christian that's a friend of Jesus is just so loving. There are times that they get out of line and act just like the world. You know anything about that, preacher? Yep. Do you know anything about it? There's some problems. So just don't go crowing when you look at the passage and say, well, I love the brethren, do you? That's good. That's an evidence. But it's a Christian nature to love one another, according to those two verses. That's what it's saying. And it's saying here, it's not a superficial kind of love and friendship. You know, I talked about summer friendships. You go spend a summer at a camp or someplace and make friends, and that's it. We were friends. Never write, never... No. This is not supernatural or superficial, verses 12 and 13. Like real love that the Lord Jesus speaks about. But it involves our whole being. When you say, well, I love brother so-and-so. I love sister so-and-so. Do you really do? You mean intellectually and emotionally, and you love them with the will? I say, well, I hope so. And I use an expression that I sometimes cringe on, is that Piper, he came out with something at a conference that kind of bothered me. He talks about hedonistic love. We saw his DVD on hedonistic. And now he was out of young folks' 2010 passion with college students. And he said to the Lord Jesus is an egomaniac, and you all are egomaniacs. I don't know where he comes up with some of these. That sounds, to call my Lord an egomaniac. But he'll back it up. He said, you look out for yourself. People look out for yourselves. That's ego. And he said, some people go to such extent that it's just all they ever think about is themselves. Well, God is God. And I'm not going to say John Piper's wrong, but he's used to using terms that sometimes shake you, but it may be good for you. But what I'm saying here is this business of being spiritually nosy, I use that term. See, well, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, it may not sound right, but a Christian is to be spiritually nosy. It's selfless love. It has the idea that of helping. Are you a help? Or you just live for yourself? The first the natural, then the spiritual. Our blessed Lord sets the model, the example. Yes? Are you a real giving lover of Jesus? Are you one who bear burdens of other people? You pray? How about your time? You give any time for others? Joy. Joy. Yes. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, and yourself. Well, that's not the way it goes. You got to take care of number one first. Well, that's Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add all these other things onto you. Number one is Jesus. And then others and yourself. But we don't have that. But that's what joy really is. And let's go back just to John's Gospel 13 and look at one verse. What does this verse 35 of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John mean? When the Lord Jesus spoke very clearly, He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Now, how are we going to show that a person really is a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus, a genuine? He said, I'll tell you how. Tell me, Lord, the last few words, if you have love one to another. It's not superficial, but it's genuine. You know, you've had your child or your grandchildren or great children. Hey, Dad, I love you a lot. How much you love me? Bunches. Really? How do you mean bunches? And then he grab you and give you a hug. Boy, that'll turn you on. Man. You know, you say, well, I love the Lord. Don't bother me. Yeah, but wait a minute. How much do you love the Lord? Well, I don't know how you're going to answer that. Can't you answer that? And why do you love him? Well, there's three crosses out there in the mountain, and one spread out like this. That middle one is the one that I really do love, the person who died there in my place. That's the one who should have my supreme love, have first place. A selfless yes. Show me, Lord. He said it was selfless. Not only was it selfless, it was sacrificial, and it was real love. Now, while we're in John, let's go to 1 John, 1 John, and just look at a couple of passages. That is a cross-reference to this whole matter. 1 John chapter 3, and I want to read, starting to read at verse 16. Listen to this. Hereby perceive we the love of God. You mean we can see it?
Yes, sir.
How are you going to... You know, how are we going to see the love of God? Because he laid down his life for us. Yes. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, brethren now. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods, oh, here we go. Whoever has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, I'm talking about spiritual nosiness. The brother hath need, and he shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Hey, I got my own bills. Don't expect me to be paying yours. Whoa, 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 whoa. That isn't quite what the Bible says to me and to you. You see, a brother who has need, And if you have some of this world's goods, and you say, well, I don't ask me, the deacons, they can take care of that problem. They got the church, don't they? And my wife and I helped a fellow one time. We came out of the library, and he said, excuse me, you look like Christians. You know, you learn, don't you? You learn this. You look like Christians. He said, I wonder if you would, I need some food. And he said, I wonder if you'd be so kind and, you know, buy me some food. Well, somebody, I wasn't the only one that ever met him. Another fellow, he said, I met that same guy. Well, sure, we have a few dollars. So we went up to took him up to the store, and he started buying some food, and he wanted some pretty nice meat. And, hey, we have to eat hamburgers, so we got him some hamburgers. Hey, look, I can't afford those chops or whatever. We bought him just $25 worth of something. I don't know. So we get to his place, pull up, and I told you this before, but you need to hear it because it's exactly right. And as soon as we got there, two guys came out of the house to help unload the groceries. Yeah, well. And then he told me, you know, as a Christian, that's what you're supposed to do. Something wasn't right about that. No, something wasn't right about that. Something wasn't right about that. But anyway, you got to watch out for gold diggers, too. If you only knew how much those people make per day in New York City or Washington, D.C., begging, you would really be surprised. It's quite a profession. It says to the brethren, try to get it right. The household of faith, try to get it right. That doesn't mean you can't help somebody who's genuinely in need. It says, hey, listen, here's a person, I didn't get finished reading this yet. I'm in 1 John 3. He said, now, here's how you can tell where you love God is that because, you know, he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And if you'd see somebody whoso hath this world's goods and see his brother, have need and shut up his vows of compassion to one mouth, dwelleth the love of God in him. My little children, let's not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Oh, you can talk a good line. I know that. You can talk a good line. Yeah, well, the Lord Jesus said, be careful about talking a good line. He said, you know, you can, don't be loving in word, or neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We have needs. You come to church, you find sometimes you need to be restored. Come to church, sometimes you say, I really need to, I need a meal, I need a spiritual meal, I need to be fed. You need to pray before you come to church and pray for the preachers. You may have a physical need. You're not well. If someone say to you, I really didn't sleep at all hardly last night, you'd say, well, you know, that's the way life is. Maybe you ought to pray. When somebody says to you something about a need, say, how are you today? Oh, I'm just fine. That's great. Really now? That's great. And it is wonderful to feel good, but as you get older, you'll find that you find yourself knowing your frailties. And so there are some supplies that Christians do need, and that's why we need to look out after each other. Well, secondly, the first thing then, what? How do I God tell whether I'm really a friend of Jesus? The first thing is that we have love for one another. That's the first qualification. That's the first evidence. What? That you love one another. What's the second one? Well, verse 15. And I have to go back to John 15. In verse 15. And this is a packed verse. Boy, if you want to spend some time, you ought to look at this verse. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, there you are, friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That is really something. He said, you're not slaves or servants. Jesus' friends are, they know divine truth. In verse 15, they know something. You do know what? They know. What do they know? Well, the things that I heard from the Father, last part of verse 15, and he said, I have made known unto you. Well, that's good. Tell me what's the difference between a slave and friends. I kind of ought to know that, or a servant. A slave is someone that is a living tool. You go do that. No questions asked. If you ask questions, your life might be taken. You're a living tool. And you do it because you want to, if you want your keep. And a friend? Well, he says, I will share my heart with you. And I will tell you things. I like that things are revealed to us. Some people are saying, hey, you want to know something about Christianity? Go buy a Bible. They're up here at Sam's for $5, $10, whatever. Go buy a Bible. That's all you need to do. And that's all if you want to find out about Christ. No. According to this verse here, it's divinely given. There is such a thing that it's revealed to you. As our brother said about eschatology, he said, I believe this is something that God must reveal to you. There are things that are revealed to you. Well, that's wonderful. How wonderful is it? Well, Jesus, friends of Jesus, they can know divine truth. God sees that they know divine truth. It's amazing. You know, you guys brag on people who are educated fools, and you think they're so wonderful, but they don't know beans about a lot of things. But take a man who hasn't really been educated and bring him to a scripture like that. He opens it up and he says, how in the world did you ever come to know that? He said, I don't know. I just, verse 15 says, I make these things known to you. That's the kind of friend Jesus is. I think that's marvelous. Well, they had a little time, if you look at 13th chapter of Matthew, there was the disciples said, Lord, we don't understand something. We're puzzled. What are you puzzled about? Well, you speak in parables, and I don't know why you do that. Why do you speak in parables in the 13th chapter of Matthew? And what was his answer to them? Well, look at verses 10 and 11. Disciples, they came and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto us in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not given. Wow. Lord, do you really give us divine revelations? That I could know some of these things and other people can study it diligently and not get it. Yeah. He said, that's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's marvelous how the Word of God does work. You know, I was talking about, I'm finding it in my old age, and it's probably old men. When I go to the store to buy something, I'm not quite sure what to call it, and I know what I want, and I explain it to the clerk, and the clerk looks at me like, oh, I don't know. Well, I know I bought things like this. They even show it to them. Oh. You remember years ago I was in sales. I was over in a bunch of hills, and I stopped in the farmer, and he knew who I was. He said, let me tell you something. Salesmen don't know anything. They don't know anything. Just sell. And I said, well, I tell you one thing. I do some studying. And he said to me, well, there's a field there that he said, I'd like to put something in there that would really do something. I said, well, I think we can figure that one out. He said, well, what would you recommend? I recommended to him. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. I contacted the headquarters of the seed company, and I said, there's a fellow over here in the mountain. You can never believe how beautiful that crop is. And he said, we'll send a man in and a photographer, and we'll have a write-up in our magazine. Don't think that there are some people that don't study, but there are some people who work as a slave just to get my pay. And then criticize the boss also. The boss is no good. What does he do? He only pays me so-and-so. I need more and more. And just carry on, but doesn't know how to really help a person when they ask a question. You say, I hope that's not too often. Well, it might be old age, but I find a lot of people just don't care. They've got a job, and they've got some benefits. And as long as I can keep my job and my benefits, I don't worry about making any plans to know anything about anything. That's kind of a criticism that I've experienced. I'm sorry. I hope I'm wrong. But if you just do it for money. We had a young man here one time. He'd gone to college and he graduated from seminary, and he was going to candidate for churches. And later on, I heard about him. Church offered him $40,000 a year, and he said that wasn't enough. Whoa, man, am I good? $40,000 a year wasn't enough. That was way, way back. Some people just do it for the money. That's all I'm interested in. Give me a job. That's what I'm interested in.
And that's why the Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of God. Hey, I explained it to him, and he looked at me with glassy eyes at me, and I said, man, I didn't get that across. Well, if he doesn't know the Lord Jesus, he's a natural man. And if you think all your charisma that you might have and all your winsomeness and all your ability to say something right, it just went like water over a duck's back. It takes God, and God says in verse 14, boy, that's a great verse, 15. I'm not through with that one. John 15 and verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what Lord do it. It's none of their business. Go do it and keep quiet. But I've called you friends, and you know what? For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, I like this next verse, too. You've not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go. What? I reveal these things to you and you should go. Well, what's go mean? I am to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in the Father, in my name, he shall give it to you. Boy, we'll talk about a great commission. This is a great passage. He said, I'll reveal these things to you. And he says, you not only get your head full of the Bible, and get an A in your Bible, but you go. He didn't just say that to a few people. He said, that's the Word of God. That's, yes, sir. And there's more characteristics here of what it means to those who love the Lord Jesus in this passage. But I think I'm going to tie it up there tonight. And let's pray. Father, for these scriptures, and looking at them, and not in real depth yet, but anyway, we see some things. We see that the Lord Jesus, the Creator, Sustainer, this one who gave his life for us, our sacrifice, the one who intercedes for us, who's coming back, has prepared a place for us, Lord, how wonderful. And yet he is a personal, can be a personal, intimate friend. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for a love that is put in our hearts supernaturally for one another. May that increase. May we have knowledge that is revealed from heaven. And may we have the desire to go and tell the blessed story about the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.